Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Thank you for lunchy lunch.
Thank you for drive me drive.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Yes, right now we are recording, Carrie.
Okay. Hi, Bad Rapport listeners. Welcome to the past. Asked. Me and Luke, I know I won't be on a podcast in 2 weeks, you know, I won't be podcasting in 2 weeks because I'll be packing. But Luke and me were out to lunch on a work day, so I thought we'd record a little something because I had a few things I wanted to talk about. Right now we were having a discussion about, things that we think are actually worth paying for, even though you could get something, you know, inferior but similar for free.
A good example that I brought up a minute ago was the TiVo machine and service. It's like, some people act in this day and age like, well, why would you pay for TiVo when you can go download torrents of all these TV shows for free the day after they air? Or go watch them on their station's respective websites, because so many shows are being done that way too, or on Hulu a week later.
Basically, we came to the realization that there's a new attitude in place amongst people our age, anyways, mm-hmm. where if you cannot get this thing for free, then it is not worth having.
Yeah. Or if somebody is asking money for a thing or a service, they are some kind of shady person or company that's trying to rip you off. They're the man, you know, and you're a fool for paying money to the man for a product that is, you know, high quality.
This conversation started when I was talking about Weight Watchers and how I realize you can track calories on dailyplate.com, which I have actually done before I joined Weight Watchers. You know, but I obviously find value in what I get at Weight Watchers, or I wouldn't continue to pay for it. But there's, certain other people who are like, dude, why would you give money to Weight Watchers when you can go to the Daily Plate? Seriously, come on. You know, but that's just one example of many. Music, you know, radio like, shows like the Dr. Demento show, for instance.
Yeah, it's like I'm so fed up with, you know, hearing, you know, that like, oh, well, nobody wants to pay $2 to listen to a stream anymore. You know, it's like it just angers me that that's the attitude. You know, if you would have come to me in the late 90s, especially early 2000s, after I moved away from Kansas City, and told me, hey, what if I could offer you in a quick, fast, easy to listen, or, you know, if you know what to do, download fashion, you could get the Dr. Demento show complete episode in high quality every week for $2 to $4 an episode. You know, I would have shit my pants and danced an Irish jig of joy.
You can get it on Saturday morning.
Yeah, on Saturday morning instead of on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You know? I would have freaked the fuck out and thought that was the most excellent thing ever back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And now here it is 2010, and it's like this miracle is being handed to us, and people are like, oh, fuck that. Ugh. What, I can't automatically download this into my, you know, MP3 player for free? You know, I have to pay someone $2 and then have to, you know, do a series of steps that, you know, that aren't common public knowledge in order to download this onto my MP3 player.
It would be good if Dr. D would do a podcast of like a smaller version of his show as like a promotional tool, or you know, like a few songs to get people to pay for the whole show. But, you know, overall, the point is there are things worth paying for, and we disagree with this attitude that everything has to be free.
Because before, when Dr. Demento was still on, you know, the Loop radio in Chicago, I listened to it as often as I could, but I missed it, you know, often enough that I wasn't there catching every episode every week due to what was going on in my life. And then after his show, you know, left terrestrial radio, and
so
I started...
So that was actually our recording device that's now beeping.
No, that's my phone.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'm fuzzled.
So, what was I just... Yeah, so after he left terrestrial radio, you know, and then I got that offer for, like, the first month free to join the Demento online club, and I joined it so that now every week on Saturday morning, I get the email saying, oh, here's the new episode, and, it, you know, I either listen to it at home or I, you know, if I know I'm not going to be sitting around my computer enough at home, you know, I do the nifty trick to download it so I can take it with me. You know, now I've heard every episode since that day because I'm, you know, I'm paying for it and I'm getting it. And it's like, oh, you know, this is an important thing. I'm paying money for this. You know, yeah. I'm going to make sure I listen every week now, you know, and I'm so happy that I am because the show, you know, is awesome. It's just as great as it always has been. He plays new stuff by, you know, up-and-coming yeah. artists that you haven't heard of, and he plays old stuff and gives you a history lesson, yeah. and you learn about the past, you know?
Actually, the most recent Dr. Demento show is actually what I wanted to talk about, so...
Okay.
Because we really didn't talk about it on episode 29.
I meant to bring it up, and then I forgot, you know, so...
Yeah, well, my segment was very short on that, and then you build and cover it. So, basically, the first, you know, notable thing that happened, the three songs in, Dr. Demento played my request of Flat 29's Rap Guide to the Orchestra, and he said my name, you know, for Carrie Dalby in Chicago. And... So that was really awesome to hear Flat 29 on the Dr. Demento show.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if Flat 29 guys know who Dr. Demento is or his significance.
I hope so. I did shoot Dan an email to let him know that happened. Or maybe, yeah. maybe it was a Twitter
you know,
message. Something like that.
We're not
going
to go into the long version of the story. The short version of the story is Dr. Demento is the reason Weird Al is famous, and he does an awesome show with all kinds of other awesome... You know, he's the reason why the Fish Head song is famous and all kinds of stuff. So, anyways, after he played that, he kind of went into some other orchestra-related songs. And a theme that he came back to during the bonus tracks at the very, 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 very end of the download. Stream.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, he played a series of nifty songs and... Then it was top 10 time. And number 7 on the top 10, was it right after, wasn't it right after, no, You're Coming to Take Me Away was number 2. So it was right after something else famous. Anyways, Twitter Treatin' was number 7 for the third month in a row. Which,
you know, to me is a sign that, you know, Carrie should go to a casino because she got 777.
Yeah.
You know, go play some slots and get some money.
Yeah. That sound you hear is the Metro train here in Wooddale, Illinois.
Assuming you hear it.
Like, the next notable thing was number 5, our good friend Insane Ian.
Yes, along with myself, because I actually wrote the verse that I rapped. So it's
Cosplaying Fangirls.
Cosplaying Fangirls.
The song.
Yep, that was number 5 for the month of November.
There's no way they can't hear that train.
Okay, well now they can because it's going right by us.
You do a good Snoop Dogg voice, by the way.
And I don't know if I've said this. I probably have at some point. I did that so well because I recorded it first thing in the morning.
Oh.
And that was I got that tip from. Weird Al. That's how he recorded the song Truck Driving Song. You know, I'm driving a truck. A big old truck. He like basically got up out of bed and did his best not to speak and get to the studio so that he could record that song early in the morning while his voice was still.
Yeah.
So I rolled out of bed and, you know, I'm like, you know, Comic-Con to San Diego. You know, right up on the microphone as close as I could get to it.
Yeah.
So.
That was awesome.
Well, thank you.
we should Let's drive over to my work to make sure I'm not late, but we can continue to record.
Well, we need to step back because you didn't mention the other significance of you having number 7 three.
The other significance of me having number 7 the third time in a row is that I'm now locked to appear on the 2025 with my very own song for the first time ever.
Yay! I'd be like clapping and applauding and cheering, but I'm trying to back out of a parking space.
Oh, what's that? Is that the fan?
Yeah, just hit off.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been, you know, on the Funny 25 under Luke's songs before. In fact, I think Vader Boy was number 4 for the year of 2005. But, you know, that was me as a singer, not as a songwriter. And so, I, in all honesty, you know, to be perfectly goddamn honest, that is kind of the reason why I recorded Twitter Tweetin'. I had the idea, like, several months before, but I'm like, well, shit, if I want a shot at, you know, glory and fame, I gotta get this song out now. And so I finally put it out just in time.
So it's not only the first Carrie Dalby song to have made one of Dr. Demento's Funny Five or Top 10 countdowns, it is also the first song of yours that will make a Funny 25 countdown.
Apparently we're not allowed to turn right.
Well, that's a bunch of bullshit.
So we're going to have to turn around and take a left? That is a bunch of bullshit.
Or go up to the next major road and turn right.
That would take a lot of time.
So, as I was saying, this is the first time Carrie has had one of her own songs make the either the Funny Five or Top 10 or the... and now, you know, we'll make the Funny 25 countdown. The fan guess estimations put Twitter tweeting at about number 15 in the 25.
Yeah, so that's super awesome.
So,
And then there was number 5, which was the end. And then song, and then what?
Well, here's the thing. For those of you who don't know how the Dr. Demento show, you know, used to work, he used to do a top 5 countdown at the end of every episode, and it was called the Funny 5. So he does about 52 episodes a year, so there was kind of a numbering system to figure out, you know.
Yeah, we got time, I guess, to go to the...
Yeah. whatever that one is called.
The one that Ken lives on.
Yeah, Prospect. So basically it'd be like, you know, you'd give 5 points for a number 1, 4 points for a number 2, 3 points for a number 3, 2 points for a number 4, and 1 point for a number 1.
Yeah.
And then tabulate that all up. And that, for the most part, is pretty much how Dr. D would figure out what would be the top 25 of the year.
Yeah.
Well, once he, you know, started doing the show on the internet and having it, you know, be for a pay-per-stream basis, some fans were kind of complaining, like, well, we're paying money, but we're getting the same songs every week, especially when you look at the Funny 5, because once a song becomes... because that's, you know, once a song becomes popular, it's like I'm paying money to hear the exact same songs every week.
Yeah.
You know, if a song like Ultimate Showdown is on there every week.
This is not
I know.
Okay. Sorry.
So I think that's one of the reasons he decided to switch the... Instead of doing a top 5 every week, he'd do a top 10 every month. And, you know, kind of do the same numbering system only with, you know, numbers and points 1 through 10 to figure out the Funny 25. So, you know, basically what... From a mathematical standpoint, it has now become a thing where if you... I don't know if this is, like, a for-sure lock with science and numbers and math and stuff because I'm way too busy to figure out these things. But it's pretty safe to say that if at any point during the year your song is number 2 or number 1...
That you're going to be on the Funny 25.
That's kind of an automatic. You just got into the Funny 25 countdown if you got a number 2 or a number 1 song that year, because that's the way the point system now works out with the way it's been being... having been done in the past couple of years.
It's time for number 1. This is it. Here it comes, number 1. And so what was number 1?
It's Good to Be the King by The Great Luke Ski featuring Devo Spice, Insane Ian, and Bud Sharp. My Mel Brooks slash... My Mel Brooks tribute song via the music of Run DMC's Down With The King.
That's a kick-ass song, too, and it kicked even more ass listening to it driving around in the car yesterday. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and it shocked me because whenever
that's a show where I wish we had listened to it without reading the playlist.
Because I had kind of been left under the impression that, you know...
He had played it before, right?
Well, yeah, he did play it before. But he didn't play it, like, right away when it first came out. It kind of got a lag a little bit before it ended up on his show. And I'm like, okay, well, he played it eventually. That's nice. You know,
nice. It's an honor.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an honor, but there are other songs of mine that he's played right away and stuck at the beginning of the episode, which makes me think, oh, Dr. D really likes this one, yeah, if he played it, you know, in that position. And the manner in which he played It's Good to Be the King, it's like, oh, cool, I'm glad he played it. I put a lot of effort into that song. But I never thought that, that he thought it was going to be a hit or the fans thought it was going to be a hit. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, it's number one on the funny, you know, on
we
the top 10 countdown.
Arrow. Yay, Arrow.
So, so it was
you
quite
can,
literally.
You can hear me doing the backseat driving thing.
Yeah, from the front seat. So it was quite literally a shock to me to discover that it was the
not
number
only
one
was
song
it on
the top 10.
You probably would have been shocked to see it at number 10. Right?
I wouldn't have been shocked to see it at number 10.
Surprised me.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like people were, like, coming out and like, hey, yeah, I'm requesting this, fucking love this, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like people were falling all over
themselves
to be
supportive. I guess I also was still kind of clouded by the fact that Blues Campbell did not go over hugely with the community. I was kind of hoping that was going to be, like, a big
fan favorite. Well, I still want another remix because I just feel like I can't hear your vocals, your lyrics well enough.
Well,
I mean, I can hear your voice, but... like, I can't pick out all of the lyrics, which is very unusual for a Luke Ski song.
Well, yeah, during the guitar solo, the lyrics were, or the things I'm saying were definitely pushed in the back because I want people to hear the guitar solo.
Yeah, but to me it was, like, song-wide. It was not just...
Well, I made two different potential final mixes of it. Sent them both to Chris Mazzalesta and told him to pick the one he felt was better and then sprinkle his digital magic on it and then give me a wave to post. So I'll let you hear both of the mixes I made and you can tell me if either one of those seems better to you.
I thought that was just awesome to see you get a number one. That your last chance of the year to get one, and you got one, and now you're pretty much a lock for the Funny 25 somewhere.
Yeah, because none of the other songs I made this year, you know, made a splash on his show. You know, Anime Fan didn't. You know, he played some of my tracks, but
did he play Anime Fan? No, he didn't even play.
No, he didn't play Anime Fan.
I wish he would have.
Yeah, and then there was the Fanboy remake. He played a couple of times. The Gowron remake. He played on the Star Trek episode with a whole bunch of other of my stuff.
Yeah.
So that was very nice to see me getting that major representation during the Star Trek episode.
Okay, so the next light is where you want to take a left. Okay.
So, and then, after that was It's Good to Be the King and then Blues Campbell. So, you know, when Dr. D didn't react, or I don't know, like I said, I just assumed that It's Good to Be the King was going to pass him by just like, Anime Fan did, like, oh, okay, whatever, and then he played it, and it's like, oh, how nice, he played it, that's cool, that makes me happy, and then I was in the middle of wedding.
To me, I'm thinking, like, here, I keep thinking, you know, there must have been, like, random listeners that it maybe, you know, aren't specifically Luke Ski fans that just really loved that song when he played it the first time. I mean, I just feel like that had to be how it got to be number one.
Yeah.
Because we didn't push it. I mean, you didn't push it on that one. You didn't super promote to people to request that one. It did a little bit.
It's like, I usually don't start asking people to re-request a song until Dr. Minho decides on his own to play it the first time. It's like, yeah. Once he plays a song, then I'm like, hey, everyone, yeah, go and request
and
to hear the song again.
And after you played it, I'm sure you asked people to request it once or twice, but it was not like a big promotion or a big push.
But I was also asking people to request Stooge Fighter and You Need Prozac, Charlie Brown by Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Because those actually did make the top 10 earlier this year, and I figured those had a better chance of making the Funny 25, and hopefully it looks like You Need Prozac, Charlie Brown by Cirque du Soleil will also make the Funny 25.
Okay, well, I don't have much more time, and I really need to change the subject.
All right, go ahead.
Since this episode is going to be... This episode, now you can call it episode number 30.
Yes.
Is going to be the last one that will come out before Christmas. I came across this, and I just had to read... An Xmas Mad Lib by Carrie No Nickname Dalby and the Great Luke Ski. Do you even remember this? This is old school.
Was this a Dementia Revolution thing?
Yes,
where
something
you,
like
you,
that.
You would call in and I'd put the mic up to the phone and then you would read a Mad Lib that you had come up with.
I had come
by
up
asking
with...
people in the channel for words.
No. This is old school. This is from like 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I wrote the Mad Lib and had you to fill in the the adjectives and verbs and places and nouns and such.
Yeah, but we did do it the other way I just mentioned at some times, but not this time.
Right. This one was I wrote the Mad Lib, you filled it in, and then I think we read it on Dementia Revolution. There was a parking spot. Parky park park. This is the parking song. It isn't very long, but it's really out of key. That's the way it's gonna be. Okay.
Thank you, Mishki.
So, an Xmas Mad Lib by Carrie Dalby and the Great Luke Ski. December is a very dangling time of year to go downloading. Whether they're downloading for hot stands, gigabytes, or wombats, every store in every Dan Rather's esophagus and every the Galapagos Islands is filled to capacity with M&Ms. December downloaders photosynthesize into stores, strategizing to find a slot machine or a 3,956.8, but are often dilapidated to find chupacabras that are studlier than usual. Nevertheless, downloaders spend all of their hard-earned squids each December in preparation for the certificate season. Happy holidays.
Yay.
So, not nearly as funny as the thing we made on the Skype cast, which I hope someone will post the other half of the Skype cast someday. The one that Bill
I forgot about that.
Yeah, there was a whole, another hour or more after Bill left, and I believe that got recorded, too. But... Yeah, someone said they were recording. So I'm hoping part two of the Skype cast will hit the Dementia Radio podcast, because that was freaking hilarious.
You'll have to mention it and stuff. I just did,
and Bill will hear it.
Well, if you put it in the email Dementia Radio Google group, that'll probably get results faster.
I have lots of email time.
So, well, thank you for appearing on this episode of the podcast, Carrie.
Okay. Bye, Luke and listeners.
Bad horse. He rides across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin. He got the application that you just sent in. It needs evaluation, so let the games begin. A heinous crime, a show of force, a murder would be nice, of course. Bad horse, he's bad. The evil league of evil is watching, so beware. The grade that you receive will be your last, we swear. So make the bad horse gleeful, or he'll make you his mare. You're saddled up, there's no recourse. It's high or silver, side bad horse.
Hey everyone, this is Luke Ski, and I am the ghost of Christmas Bad Rapport Future. Woo! So, at the time we recorded all of our various segments, I had no idea what songs I was going to be playing and when. So this is me jumping in as the post-recording editor to back announce all of the music that's played in this double song stuffed episode. I apologize for making the longest episode we've done to date even longer, but... Oh well, I felt it was necessary. Anyway,
We had Horrible Theme and Bad Horse Chorus from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which is totally epic and awesome. So go to drhorrible.com. That's drhorrible.com. The song we're about to hear is a song from the Jim Henson Christmas special from back in the late 70s, early 80s, called Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It's a song from that I always, you know, associate with Christmas because it was from a Christmas special. You can, you know, get that on DVD or whatever by going to Amazon or whatever and putting in Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. But for the sake of plugging a website, it would only be fair to plug Henson.com, H-E-N-S-O-N.com, because the Jim Henson Company made it. After that, we're going to hear a song by Buster Poindexter, who doesn't have a website. But if you go to iTunes and enter Buster Poindexter, you can find all his music. His real name is David Johansen, spelled J-O-H-A-N-S-E-N. So Google Buster Poindexter or David Johansen, and you can find their music. So I'll do another announcement like this at the end of the show to plug the rest of the music. But for now, here's a tune from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Perhaps we're long-lost brothers. We even think the same. You know there may be others. We can always use a friend. This family just keeps growing. This family doesn't have to end. Brothers. Brothers. So many things to learn, but we'll enjoy each lesson. Problems don't worry us when half the fun is guessing. Live a lifetime of surprise. We'll all become magicians and leave the wonder in their eyes.
Again, this is Carrie.
And today is, what is today?
December 13th.
Yeah.
2010.
I think I'm going to put all the segments in the podcast chronologically.
Okie dokie, that's so kind of what I figured.
So the first part will be the thing we recorded at Subway, and then the second part will be this, and the third part will be me and Ian.
Okay.
Something. And then there will be songs interspersed somehow in all of this.
Okay. I wanted to mention, couple of funny music related dreams that I've had in the last weekend. First, I had a dream about Flat 29. I dreamt that Dan and Charlie separately were in, I guess it was Minneapolis for MarsCon, but Rich wasn't there. And I blame this on the fact that on their videos that come with the with the musical Sherlock Holmes yada yada download CD that I purchased, on their videos you can't see Rich's face hardly ever because the popper stopper is covering it up during both songs. So I had this dream.
So you weren't able to like adequately build a mental image of what
of Rich
of what he looks like in real life as he moves and talks and stuff.
If he had shown up, he would have looked like a young George Harrison instead of what he really looks like. But so instead it was Charlie and Dan were there looking, you know, vaguely roughly like they really look, and like we were trying to wrangle everything to get everyone together so that they could perform at MarsCon, which is a pipe dream, but it's an awesome pipe dream.
I don't think it's we'll see what happens. You know, they have expressed an interest and we'll see what we can make happen.
Well, I didn't know if we could talk about that here.
Well,
so that was one dream. I wish I had more details to share. The other dream was the next night I dreamed that Chris Messalesta of Power Salad had changed his hair so that it was like all combed, like It was longer, and it was all combed over on one side, and it was, like, really smooth, like, you know, it was like, you know, if Fabio's hair was, like, straight instead of wavy, and it was, like, all smooth and silky and, like, but it was all, like, really, like, pussy, you know, too. It really didn't look like something Chris would ever wear. And, but for some reason, okay, Chris Mezzaleste had changed his hair like this. And so it was just like we're all in a big circle at a convention or something. And I'm just being honest. I'm just like, you know, Chris, that hair doesn't really suit you. And, you know, when you had, like, kind of goofier hair, it kind of, you know, it suited you better and it was good for your act and blah, blah, blah. Not that his hair is particularly goofy. But this is what I was saying in the dream. And then Rob Balder chimes in to say, I think it's just fucking stupid or something like that. And then Luke's just like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. There's nothing wrong with his hair. So in other words, you know, Chris Mezzaleste changes his hair. I'm being honest. Rob's being mean and Luke's going out of his way to be overly nice. So probably how it would have really played out.
Depends on how much alcohol Rob had had. Was he wearing the fuzzy
no.
pink ears for Party Rob?
Or no, he wasn't
Rob?
Wearing Party Rob ears. So I had to share those dreams with you because they are funny. Nothing too exciting to share in my life. Josh is pretty much caught up on Harry Potter. We just have to go see the new movie together, which I haven't seen either. And other than that, we're, you know, lamely attempting to pack and get ready to move in a week. So that's how my life's going. And are you going to talk about your life with Ian, I assume? Because right now it would be better for me to tell you where to go because we're in a car and Luke's
yes.
driving.
Carrie was just over at my place. She so graciously donated some of her very valuable free time.
I wouldn't even call it free time.
to be a vocalist on my newest funk track. And actually, I forgot to mention this to you. Even though Ian and I are recording our segment, today's Tuesday. We're recording our segment Wednesday.
Today's
Monday. Me and Ian are recording our segment Wednesday. I'm probably going to wait until like super late Thursday night, crossing over into Friday morning to actually post it to the Bad Rapport feed so that I could include the song in question.
Oh, okay. One that I was helping you with?
Yes, so that basically it'll be on the Fump the same day, you know. So basically, I'm only sending one mass email out instead of multiple ones.
Okay.
It's just kind of better for the promotion to hit them all with one big
yeah.
shebang. So
whatever works.
So, yeah. So the song we are talking about will be in this podcast somewhere, probably at the very end is the last thing in the podcast, so.
Okie kadokly.
So you have that to look forward to. Hey!
Honky donkeys.
Redonkulous.
Ridiculous.
So, Sarah and I had an interesting exchange the other day in which, doesn't understand that when I say things, sometimes I am saying things, actually quite often I am saying things because I am trying to be funny.
Right.
You know, just in our casual conversation that I say things and I don't mean it. It's like,
right.
you know, oh my, like,
right.
Oh, especially when it comes to something like, well, that's really crass or tacky or inappropriate or whatever. It's like, I don't really mean that. I just had that thought and I'm like, oh, that's a crass, tacky, inappropriate thought. I'm going to say it out loud so that somebody else can be amused by it. And I think Sarah doesn't understand that.
This is not the Complain About Your Marriage podcast, by the way.
Okay. So the example in question is, back around the time the Scud Omnibus came out, I ordered a copy of that book and gave it to somebody as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never heard that person mention, I mean, I know that the person got it. They mentioned it and thanked me for getting it. I never, ever heard them mention again whether or not they actually read it, you know, at all. it's, and you know, then again, I didn't ask. At least I haven't asked any time recently. If they ever did. So
we're coming up to our turn pretty soon.
Okay. So the thought that crossed my mind was, you know, that I shared with her. It's like, you know, part of me just wants to contact this person and say, hey, did you ever read that book? And if they say no, say, well, can I have it back so I can give it to somebody else who will read it?
Right.
And she's like, you know.
Which you wouldn't actually do.
Which I wouldn't actually do.
Okay.
You know, but she's just like, she was like so like taken aback and offended, like, you know, I can't believe the things that you would do. It's like, no, that's the point. I'm not actually going to do that. It
was take a right
just
here.
A funny thought that I had. So, you know. The point being, Scud the Disposable Assassin Omnibus is the greatest graphic novel ever made in the history of time.
Then go take a right
and
up
you
there.
You need to all get it and read it. It's on Amazon for like $20.
Oh, wow. Yeah, at the red light there, take a right.
Yes. I do recognize this neighborhood. I just don't know which particular store we're going to.
We've eaten quote unquote food from this White Castle before.
Yes,
you can call it that.
White Castle came out with these garlic cheeseburgers, so it made me have to go back to White Castle
one more time.
Well,
one last time.
On at least two or three occasions in the past month or so, because I'm like,
if this splits, and it really doesn't matter which side you go on.
Alrighty then. I'll go on the left side so that way I can turn right.
Okie dokie.
Into where we're going.
Yeah. Going to the grocery store.
So, yeah.
Sorry that burp wasn't loud enough for a hit.
Andersonville!
I mean, yes, we've recorded from my apartment, but we've never recorded driving through Andersonville.
Well, do you want to give people the virtual tour?
I suppose.
Well,
it's not like I'm going to be here that much anymore.
Gay bar, bookstore,
no,
gay bar.
No.
Gay bar, gay bookstore.
Well, something like that, but it's kind of hard to give them the tour because we're not driving very far into it before we turn into the grocery store. There's a restaurant that I think is a mob hideout of some kind. There's a gay-looking jewelry store. Let's see.
By the way, we are totally pro-gay here, by the way, in case you haven't figured that out about us. We're all about the gay.
We don't need that disclaimer. Totally unnecessary.
Well, you know.
There's a McDonald's. I mean, I'm passing lots of cool places that I don't have time to describe because they're going by too fast, and I'm not a very fast person. There's a Turkish cuisine bakery. There's a Primo Pizza. Restaurant Adriatic Cafe. I've never eaten at any of these places, by the way. Andersonville Uptown Animal Hospital used to be where I used to take Buffy until we found a better vet who is now moving and we're moving, so I'll have to find yet another vet. And perhaps the tour will continue after the grocery store trip, and perhaps not. We shall see as we have arrived at the magical Jewel Osco in Andersonville.
It's like Pod of Destiny.
Only without the of.
Is that you, Santa Claus? A gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hanging my stocking, I can hear him knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Show is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out on my clacking jaw. Who's there? Who is it? Are you stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus?
Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for.
Mind slipping it under the door. Cold winds are howling, or could that be growling? My legs feel like straw. My, oh me, my, kindly would you reply? Is that you,
Santa Claus. Yes, hanging my stocking, I can hear him knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Oh, oh there, Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop your teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins these days. Well, I can't explain why I'm shaking that way. Yeah, I can see old Santa in a keyhole. I'll get to the cause. One kick and I'll try ya. Uh-oh, there's an eye there. Is that you, Santa Claus? Please, please, I'm bending my knees. Is that you, Santa Claus? That's him, all right.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Incredible. Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Flat 29, giga giga, incredible.
I have...
Public Enemy sings Flat 29. Hey, yo, man! Can't fake a cake on the make, Holmes. Ah, yeah. Oh, shucks.
Dude, we haven't even been into the podcast for like a full minute, and already you're flat 29ing it up like a mofo.
Well, I should because, and by the way, we've started now. I've decided.
I figured we'd started. That's why I haven't said anything specific about things.
But Dan was did quite an awesome thing. He sent Carrie and I T-shirts of Professor Winston for us as a nifty gift because because they're awesome and because stuff.
Because they're awesome and stuff.
Yes.
Sir, you are a literati when it comes to words. You're so verbose and able to string sentences together with unique grace and style.
That's what she said.
Yes. This is off to a smashing start. I'm excited.
Well, anyway, so here's what's going on. At this point, people will have already heard a couple of segments I recorded with Carrie in the car whilst she and I were doing things so that she could actually be in this episode somehow. And now, because we're doing this chronologically, we are speaking with Insane Ian as our guest co-host.
Hello, internet world.
And he is on the Skypes, as people say when they pretend to be ignorant and pluralize things and put the words "the" in front of them, as you know, kind of like that whole interwebs, which is incorrect. But so many people say it ironically incorrect now that it's pretty much become, you know, the real way to say it instead of the ironic funny way to say it, because so many people say it so often that it's no longer ironic or funny. It's just a new term, the interwebs. So.
Yes!
We're off to a wacky start here on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport featuring Insane Ian. Ian, what the hell have you been up to lately?
Oh, about 5'8", 5'9", with the hair.
Hey-o!
Hey, Hazinga! All right, so it's my version of Bazinga, by the way. It's Hazinga, because I
Cause
have
you're
a little
Jewish.
Jew in me. Yeah, that's exactly right. Hazinga! I have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, I've been working on a lot of different songs. I've got like 3 different CDs I'm putting together right now, and mostly just being at work and miserable because I really hate my job. But other than that, I've been super, Luke, and thanks so much for having me on the show. I do have to point out this is the second podcast I've co-hosted, or at least guest co-hosted, that has "bad" in the title. We interviewed you ages and age.
Ian, you still there? Crap.
Of pudding capacity, we used to have a podcast called Ian and Wes's Bad Idea, And we interviewed you, and unfortunately, the interview got corrupted and never even aired. So, whoops.
That's weird. By the way, are you still hearing me in real time?
Yes, I believe I am.
There was a weird pause there a minute ago, but I don't think we missed anything major, so...
Okay.
Anyway, it's just, we're just winging it here. I have to apologize to our listeners if you're expecting one of our regular slick episodes. This is not it. This is the, you know, it's December. We all, you know, Carrie's moving. There's a billion things happening. I've been working my butt off trying to get a new song done. Plus, I got caricature gigs. And so I didn't have time to, you know, write a proper news of the stupid and... I'm not even sure what songs we're going to be playing with this episode, although it's...
All of them!
It's... Yes.
I've been listening to Bad Rapport since the beginning. I'm never expecting one of the slick episodes.
Oh, okay, good. Then, excellent.
Every episode is like a fortune cookie, and I don't know what it's going to say.
So, since I'm intentionally going to put this out on Friday, which is the same day my new Fump track comes out, I'm going to put my new Fump track... on the show here, probably at the very end.
That's a great idea. I think you should do that.
And without giving away any of the jokes, what do you think of the new Luke Ski song that will be at the Fump?
The new Luke Ski song, I believe, is quite possibly the most fanish thing you've done since the last fanish thing you did. So, only more so.
So last month with the Bruce Campbell song is what
exact no, it's so much more than that. Okay. That was one thing. This is everything.
Well, thank
Bruce
you.
Campbell is a dude. This is so there's no word to describe how epic it is other than to say it is epic.
Well, in Bruce Campbell's defense, he is Bruce Campbell.
This is true.
Okay.
That chin holds so much clout.
And I, because I have, you know, membership has its privileges and such, I was able to hear the forthcoming Insane Ian song, which is quite awesome.
Thank you, sir.
The vocals are great on it. The recreation of the song you are spoofing and the artist you're spoofing is right on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Actually, you can spoil that one because technically, okay. Another podcast has played it, as of this recording.
Well, would it be okay if we played it on this podcast?
I would be honored if you would do so.
All right. I also want to let everyone know it will probably make you sick and vomit.
Yay!
But
it's my first Squick song. I feel like Sea Monkey.
Well, you at least you're not feeling Sea Monkey, you know.
Well, which, not yet. He keeps having that restraining order.
Although, I don't know if you're aware of this, he did do a parody of the song that you parodied. It also in a Squick way, but I think yours probably tops him in Squickness.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I think I'm proud of that.
So, yeah. All
right. Writing this song was like writing high school. I was like, wow, this is the most... And yet I don't say anything dirty. It's just all allusions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the best kind of dirty song is the kind that has no dirty words, but, you know, you're getting away with it. Much like... the song Innuendo by Nuclear
Power. Oh, yeah. Love that song.
I never wanted to have your special dessert. Too cold outside, I'd moan. But I took it from you, and you were laughing. As I bit into that frozen lemonade snow cone. Yellow snow, yellow snow. Joker. bleaching powder requires cream. Hey, maybe I should have known this joke wasn't mediocre. I could tell it was fresh from the steam. Yellow snow, yellow snow. That means me too. You say you want to learn, but you might be at a disadvantage. I will teach you how. You can spell out your name, but you need a stencil first. Yellow snow, a yellow snow.
So, I just got back from Christmas shopping. It's the first time I really had a chance to do Christmas shopping at all this year. So, you know, 10 days to Christmas, I finally got something happening. I quickly whipped up some notes and outlines and comments and stuff. I have a couple things I can talk about. Do you have anything that you would specifically like to discuss, or are we just freeforming it here?
I was ready to wing it, sir. I loves the improvs. Hey, look at that! It's this pluralization and adding the to things again.
We're hipsters.
Yay!
We dislike everything.
So trendy.
All right, so one thing this harkens back to comments I made about a pet peeve of mine in an episode or two ago about people who sing songs at the wrong time and how that drives me nuts. did you hear that one?
Yes.
So basically it's like the song starts and, you know, there's an 8-measure intro to when the singing of the song, the actual lyrics begin, but... You know, there was at least one specific person in my life who, when the song started and she immediately recognized what the song was, she would start singing the lyrics immediately and not wait the 8 measures to when she's supposed to sing them. And even when the song kicks in, she continues singing. You know, it's like, what the fuck kind of time warp bullshit is this? Sing the song properly.
Apparently, everyone just thinks they're James Blunt.
Apparently, you know.
he did that on his own song, and you're like, oh, wait, did you start too soon? Yeah.
So something reminded me of this. There's a third thing I want to talk about, and it ties into Star Trek. So when I get
a
to the
third thing, what, have we even started?
We're not through the first thing, but I don't have a writing implement in front of me. So I'm reminding you when I say,
"Well, cut your finger and start writing in blood, sir."
Well, when I get to the third thing, remind me it tied into Star Trek, and that'll help me remember what it was. Anyway.
I say these things. These are words that I will speak.
Yes. So, anyway, back to the thing about singing and singing songs correctly. My best friend, Steph, lives out in Madison. She and I used to go to karaoke pretty frequently, and even after I moved away and she and I didn't hang out much, she still continued to go to karaoke. And in some kind of weird irony, she didn't actually start singing songs herself at karaoke until after I stopped going there with her. I don't know if it was if she felt self-conscious or whatever, but it's like once she started going to karaoke without me, that's when she started getting on the mic and singing. And
well, you're a tough act to follow, sir.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal was, but now when I hang out with her, we go to karaoke, she sings, and it's all good. So she has a friend, and I'm not going to say her friend's name, but her friend would always karaoke, and she had a nickname she had made up for herself, and I can't remember what it was. It was something like, I don't think it was Wild Child, but it was something like that, where it's like, my nickname is, here's my nickname because I'm crazy, I'm on the edge, whoa. And right. So her thing was trying to find novelty tunes that were in the books, but not and just any novelty tune. It had to be the ones that had, dirty lyrics or naughty lyrics in them.
Like Ode to My Car or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or stuff from the Bob and Tom show, So she would regularly get up and sing these songs. And the two that I can remember the most her singing were Enormous Penis by Da Vinci's Notebook, who, for those of you keeping score at home, two of those guys are currently Paul and Storm.
Paul and Storm.
Yeah, so the previous incarnation of Paul and Storm with two other guys was Da Vinci's Notebook. They had an awesome song called Enormous Penis. So that, was a karaoke on a CD somewhere. And then there was Adam Sandler's song At a Medium Pace. So these would be like her her two signature numbers that she would always do. And it would drive me nuts because it's not that – and this is different from the other pet peeve. It's she – generally speaking, she was singing these lyrics like, when they were supposed to be spoken. But she was like – it was like, that whole thing in the 70s where Shatner would do his interpretations of songs and just like,
So she would rocket man them.
Sort of. I mean, but like at least with Shatner rocket manning thing, he was – putting thought into it, and I'm deconstructing this and putting it together in a new way, to make an artistic statement. She was just, thinking – I don't know what she was thinking, if she was trying to be intentional or if she was just – did she not know how these songs went and just found them and like, this has dirty words, I'll sing this, and never bothered to learn how Adam Sandler sings the original – or Da Vinci's Notebook sings the original and just got up there. And it's not that she was off key. She was just making shit up, so it's like,
I've seen people do that at karaoke, generally with Ode to My Car from Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I think it's at least these luckily were people that I didn't know. But invariably they would get up there to do this song only because they knew the song was slightly recognizable, at least the Adam Sandler one, because they played that on the radio, but they would bleep it.
Yeah.
And but they didn't know enough of it to carry the tune, so they would just kind of fuck their way through it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of credible and horrifying all at the same time.
So yeah, so this girl, she would be like, because like Sandler's original would be like, and now you take that shampoo bottle out of my ass, pretend I'm the pizza delivery guy, and watch me whack off. Then I look into your eyes, and I realize how much I enjoy loving you. And, she would sing it like, pretend I'm the pizza delivery guy, and watch me whack off. It's like the notes she was singing were nowhere near what Sandler's notes are, and it wasn't even so much like she was trying to sing harmony. She was just making up her own fucking melody, with these words. And it just drove me fucking apeshit to watch her do that and then to kind of be all like, hey, I'm Wild Child. Oh, look out for me. It's like, you didn't write that fucking song. You don't get to take credit for being so on the edge when you're doing a piece of material that you didn't fucking write, So I don't know. It's, I mean, when I get up there and I do a song, a novelty song, it's not like I'm trying to be like, hey, I wrote Witch Doctor. No, I fucking didn't. I just sing it really goddamn well, you know? It's like, you know, it's all about the Pentiums. Yeah, I'm rocking that shit because Weird Al kicks ass, you know? So
yeah, well, and she's, I don't know. It was thing.
Just kind of an attitude. And then at one point, I had put in... It's like I got there before she did, and I put in Enormous Penis because I wanted to sing it. And then she went in to put up Enormous Penis, and the karaoke DJ said to her, oh, well, he, you know, Luke already has this in here. So she basically came to me and asked me, oh, you know, I really want to sing it. Can I sing it with you? And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, you know. So we got up there on the mic, and she, you know, we each take a mic, and she I'm like, you know, I actually said to her in front of everyone, well, you sing it your way, and I'll sing it the correct way. And then we went into the song, and that's what we did. And I think Steph told me later that, you know, I might have hurt her feelings, or she was a little bit put off by me having made that statement. But it's like, I'm sorry, you know, this is my passion. You know, it's like, you know, if somebody got up and said they were going to do Stairway to Heaven and, you know, fucking sang all the wrong notes... you know, intentionally, you know.
And Robert Plant happened to be sitting in the audience.
Yeah, you know, or the person who runs the foremost website on Robert Plant and is the biggest Robert Plant fan ever, that person would be like, fuck you, you're fucking it up, you know.
Tearing his hair out. And
yeah. So
spitting and vitriol. And
once again, this, you know, Carrie would probably call me a comedy Nazi once again if she were here and tell
comedy
me.
Comedy Nazi?
Yeah, there and, we go.
There you go. I'm just filling in. I can't hit you. I'm too far away. I can't reach through the interwebs to slap you.
So do you have any other interesting experiences about karaoke that tie into this?
Yes, actually, I do.
Woo!
When I was before I started actually recording my own stuff and putting it up on the Fump Sideshow and eventually up on the Fump, I was trying out my material at my local karaoke bar. And invariably, of course, when my wife, the Stacy, who, if anybody is familiar with my recordings, the Stacy appears on my records, that's my wife. So when she and I first started dating, we would go to karaoke all the time because my wife would rather sing than speak. She's an excellent singer, sings a lot, and, you know, that's what she does. She's a musical theater nerd. And we would go to karaoke all the time, and invariably when I was doing a song, I'd put my name down as Insane Ian because, you know, hey, that's my stage name. And I'd get up there, and of course, I'd get known through a couple of the karaoke bars in town as the Insane One, because that's how the DJ would introduce me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say Insane Ian. He'd say, the Insane One, and put, like, reverb on it. It's like, all right, well, here's an intro. Here's a song that's going to let you down because it's not as cool as that intro. But I would get up there and I would practice, like, here's a song I wrote, and, you know, it's a parody of something or whatever. I wouldn't have any backing tracks because I didn't have the facilities at the time, but I would either do a Weird Al song, like I'd do Couch Potato constantly, and that was kind of my signature thing, or I would do any of my songs and kind of test them out and test the waters and see how they went over with the crowd or whatnot. One night at a karaoke competition, it kind of ties in that it's karaoke, not in that it really revolves around your pet peeve. So
that's
sorry
fine.
About that,
that's
but it's
fine.
Karaoke story, so here you go. ta-da. There was a karaoke competition at a restaurant very close to our apartment, and my wife is one of these people who's a singer. She's a singer. She does singing. I'm the comedian. I don't do singing. I do the comedy shit. So I have in my car the Gump single from Weird Al. And on the Gump single is the backing tracks for... oh, God, why I suddenly can't remember. Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah, I have that.
So the backing tracks for Since You've Been Gone is on that single. So I enter the competition. My wife enters the competition. And I do Since You've Been Gone. And it... I, like, you know, had choreography for it unintentionally. I was just like, all right, I'll just dance. And I won second place.
Wow.
And my wife did not place at all.
Oh.
I felt really bad. So my prize was, like, you know, a $15 gift certificate to the restaurant we were in, so I used it to buy her dinner. I mean, we were still dating at the time. We weren't married yet, so I was like, food. My peace offering. So, yeah.
It reminds me of, I believe it was MarsCon 2004, I entered the karaoke contest doing the Humpty Dance. I had brought my full-on Humpty Hump costume, and at no point did I ever look at the lyric screen because, I need a lyric sheet to do the Humpty Dance.
Humpty Dance. Yeah, seriously. Know?
So, yeah, so I won. I came in first place.
Nice.
So I haven't entered the contest since then. I've judged it a few times, but I just figured, I've pretty much, I have accomplished what I set out to do.
Does your trophy say pwned on it? Because that's truly what you did.
I can't remember what the prize was. I have no clue. It was something. I know Carrie entered it one year saying all that jazz and was incredible. She came in second and got season 3 of The Simpsons on DVD, which she later on regifted to me because she knew that I would appreciate it more, as a hardcore Simpsons fan. So yeah.
Nice. I actually hosted karaoke a couple times.
I always thought that would be a cool job to have if I ever had to go get a job, to be a karaoke DJ. But then again, it would force me to have to deal with drunk people and music I hate over and over again. Cliched shit, like the
Cha-Cha
slide.
Luckily, I did it at school. The theater class, whatever. At my college was hosting, we had student run theater called Mask, and every so often we'd have fundraisers to kind of raise money for the student run theater, because since it was student run, we had no budget, so we had to raise funds for, hey, we're gonna do this production. This production costs money. Give us money, we can do the show. Kind of like, please buy this EP so I can pay for my wedding. Hey, marketing. So we did this Halloween scaraoke thing, and they had me host it for some reason. Normally, here's the thing I don't get. People who host karaoke, generally speaking, it's not true all the time, but generally speaking, the people who host karaoke can sing somewhat. They're the people who are like, hey, let me show you how easy it is to do karaoke. Here's this song. Watch me sing it. And it's just that simple. Come on, kids. You know you want to sign up. Here we go. Well, I'm not really, especially at the time, I've gotten a lot better in the past years. Thank you to the guy who I work with. He's a music teacher, so he's kind of been helping a lot with getting voice right. But I wasn't a great singer when I was hosting this thing, and yet somehow managed to win the crowd over enough because I'm like, hey, this is how easy it is to do this. Come on, kids. And somehow managed to stay in key singing Bust a Move by Young MC because I didn't have to sing it.
Yeah, that's another one on my list of I don't even need the freaking lyrics.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at the screen at all. Also, mainly because it wasn't aimed toward me. I'm sitting behind the table and the screens are facing out. So I'm like, yeah, I know this one. I can do this.
Cool.
And that's the end of that story.
Yay. Well, another potential topic here was this new kind of theme that we started a few episodes ago was talking about bullies from our past. So I figured I'd bring up at least one more and
bring up one more painful memory for us, Luke.
Let's see. I'll go with... I have four names here on my list. It's like, which one do I want to talk about today?
Which asshole shall I out on the internet today?
All right, well, this is about seventh grade. There was a kid named Shane Morgan, and he's a very unique type of bully because he's the kind of bully who actually somehow, believes in his own mind or convinces himself that he is my friend, Like that the shit that he does to me to annoy me or to torture me is just like, that's our rapport and we're buddies, And it's like, no, you're an asshole. Stop it and leave me alone. I'm trying to, walk down the hallway or I'm trying to learn here in class, And the main time I had to deal with him was seventh grade. Oh, my God. We had this history teacher named Mr. Kramer. And...
Oh my!
Well, he, you know, old older guy, bald guy. He had glasses, and he was very particular, and I had a pretty wicked impression of him. You know, so it would be like, you know, all right, class, open your red books to page 33. We're going to talk about John Locke and Shane Morgan, you sit down right now. Yeah, sit down and open your red book. Now. And then, you know, we'd go into...
Wow, so Luke. Having never met that person, that impression was scarily accurate.
Well, that's the point of this podcast, is so the shit exits my mind and others can hear it.
So, and everyone who's never met this person goes, wow, that sounded exactly like him.
So, you know, if you got a time machine and went back to Lake Geneva in 1987 and you heard a guy in the supermarket talking like that, you'd be like, hey, Luke was right. So,
because that's what I do with my time machine. Stop Hitler, fuck that, let's meet Luke's teacher.
If I had a time machine, I would go see Spike Jones perform live.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd go give Jim Henson a
hug.
I'd give him something that would have prevented him from dying of pneumonia.
I was going to say a blanket.
Yes. You know, I can't think of a humorous way to put a spin on it, but goddammit, Jim Henson should not be dead. Yeah. It's not fair.
I would travel back in time and give Jim Henson a Snuggie.
And then he would have turned it into a puppet and then, you know.
Exactly.
Yes.
I didn't think of this.
Anyway, back to Shane Morgan. So he would sit behind me in that class, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to do stuff, and he's just like messing with me and messing with me and messing with me, and then I'd finally like raise my hand, you know, basically I'm raising my hand because I need to talk to Mr. Kramer and get his attention, so he'll come over here and tell Shane Morgan to knock it off and leave me alone. So as soon as I raised my hand, he'd be like, oh, come on, man, come on, I'm just playing around, come on. It's like, well, why don't you comprehend what you're doing? That, you know, that you're just, you know, screwing with me and messing with me, and that I don't enjoy it, and that it's annoying, and that I'm trying to learn here. Because I, you know, that was the age of my life when I gave a crap about learning and getting good grades. So
I never reached that age.
That age was like birth through about, sophomore year. Might have been before that.
You're ahead of the curve, sir.
Yeah, I was kind of considered, you know, a gifted kid up until a certain point, and then I decided I cared more about comedy than about learning.
I ran into that far earlier than I should have. Yeah. I was in gifted and talented and got kicked out.
Yeah. So, but any bullies you can mention?
Well, I was fortunate in my surroundings that I went to the same school from kindergarten to eighth grade. We had a school here in Baltimore called Roland Park. It was a public school, Roland Park Elementary and Middle. So it went from kindergarten to all the way to eighth grade. And it was a big school because it was a public school. But I didn't really get bothered by bullies that much because I had a friend who is still my friend today that I have had since kindergarten. My buddy Kobe, who was the best man at my wedding, watches my back just about for everything. So I luckily had a man in my corner to keep me safe, because I was the nerdy little weird kid. It was either Kobe or it was the fact that I learned to run really fast that kind of kept me safe. So I never really got a chance to get hurt by the bully thing. So no, I don't have an excellent bully story. Sorry.
Well, you're fortunate. See,
I would suppose that I am.
So, all right. Well, why don't I put another break here, and then we'll do News of the Stupid.
Sounds good. And while you're putting on a break, I have to talk to my wife real quick, so bear with me.
All right. Break!
Hello. This is the Ghost of Christmas Robot Future. I am here to tell you that this is the end of part 1 of episode 30 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Go listen to part 2 to hear the rest of the episode, or I will hunt you down and cut your throat in your sleep with my robot knife. Oh, and Merry Christmas, and shit.